order for us to just maintain the population to where it doesn't grow any more than what it currently is, we have to kill 70%. We have to eradicate 70% of the population. It is the best form of eradicating pigs. We fly currently about 1.2 million acres, and we average about 150 pigs a day. He shoots like two or three pigs. He just turns his head to the right and throws up, but we get it all on camera. The business that we have isn't always necessarily the prettiest when it comes into the public eye, but it is a necessity that people don't want to necessarily see. This is Charles Spiegel with Target Rich TV, and you're listening to The Wild Initiative.
Put down your latte and pull on your boots.
I've been blessed to harvest 22 of the 29 North American animals with my bow.
My personal 24-hour record for death threats is 88.
They will start putting two and two together and realize this is how you call bulls in.
So when I go hunting now, that's the ethos I take with me. You know, whatever this hunter's going to throw at you, you pull your big girl pants up and you get on with it.
Giant bucks are freaking awesome. They're beautiful. But you know what? I would not trade this first buck for anything in the world.
So I'm a geek. Magicians and dragons and magic swords. I kid you not, man. I'm the biggest dork in the gun business.
I'm Freddie Hartice, Hollywood Hunter.
This is Aaron Snyder.
Hey, this is Trevin Stoltzfus with Outback Outdoors.
This is Rihanna Carey.
Hi, this is John Sloan of Interviews with the Hunting Masters.
You're listening to The Wild Initiative.
Hey, y'all, welcome to another episode of The Wild Initiative, brought to you as part of the Waypoint Podcast Network.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
All right, y'all. So hopping right into today's episode, I've got Charles Spiegel on the line with me with a Target Rich Environment TV. They are doing some fun stuff down. I probably should have asked. They're doing some fun stuff down in Texas, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I had a moment of doubt there for just a second, but thanks so much for joining me, man.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
That's what we get. If I start recording these podcasts before about noon, my brain just, I don't think has woken up yet. I wake up and jump right into like the emails, and I don't quite check in till about after lunch, I think.
I get it. Sometimes you got to get the juices flowing.
Exactly. But yeah, man. So I'd love it if just to kick things off, if you could give my listeners just a little introduction about who you are, and specifically, how did you get introduced to the outdoors and hunting?
Sure, absolutely. So my name is Charles, obviously. I'm one of the owners and one of the co-hosts of Target Rich Environment TV. We own a outfitter down in Texas. We own three curl outfitters and Heli Hunter. We are the world's largest hog hunting outfitter. So our sole purpose is eradicating hogs from the state of Texas. So we get to fly around all day shooting pigs from a helicopter. So there's any doubt that we're doing it in Texas, there's not any other state there in the union that's going to allow us to do something that crazy. But we definitely do. And we kill a lot of pigs. So that is how we got started. It was started out of a necessity, not necessarily a business, because we're farmers, we're ranchers, we're landowners. And 10, 15 years ago, the pig population and the pig problem was destroying us. And if we didn't do something at that time, our farmers and ranchers and producers here in Texas would not have been able to recover. So through much fights and battles and petitioning with Texas Parks and Wildlife, we were finally able to pass a law that permitted us to go up with a helicopter and eradicate as many pigs as possible.
And how were you specifically introduced to the outdoors and hunting?
Me specifically has always started out as a young age. Growing up here in Texas, public television, Channel 13, Wild America was my go-to. I'd wake up on Saturday mornings and was always looking for the new and next episode. I love the outdoors, growing up in rural Texas, running around, no shoes on, fishing, hunting, everything outdoors all day, every day. And it just wildlife and game all over the United States as well as the world kind of piqued my interest. And I was able to see into a window outside of what I saw here in Texas through Wild America TV show and Marty Stauffer, which was always the host of that. And so that was kind of what drove my passion and kind of influenced me to always be in the outdoors and kind of be outside and get my hands dirty and get lost in the wilderness.
Nice. So, you know, you talk about starting the business and doing the hog hunting out of necessity. Talk a little bit about the effect that these wild hogs have on the environment, on whether that's native habitat or ranch land. And, you know, we can touch on even before hopping into that, I don't think a lot of people realize hogs are not a native species to North America, at least not the hogs where we have.
No, absolutely not. So feral hogs are definitely not native species. And so I'll touch on both the ranch and agriculture aspect as well as native wildlife and how it affects the native wildlife population. So pigs were introduced into Texas coming in with the settlers and coming in from Europe. They're bringing sources of food. There was feral pigs coming in into the ports in Galveston, and those feral pigs, or those basically domestic pigs at the time, became feral. And as well as large game ranches in the early 1900s, bringing customers in and clients in, they were bringing Eurasian hogs, which is known basically as Russian boars, over and importing them into Texas. And those pigs got loose and the population just flourished. So now we're sitting with a population of 3 to 4 million pigs in the state of Texas, which it affects 99% of all counties in the state of Texas. So it's widespread. And to kind of put it in perspective, everybody's like, well, Texas is huge. I mean, 3 to 4 million pigs, is it really that much? It is the exact same population as our whitetail population in the state of Texas. Jeez. And as you probably know, whitetail hunting is huge in Texas as well as the South and all of the United States. And the feral pig population has grown to a point where it is equal population for a native whitetail. So with them being feral and with them not having any natural predators here in Texas, the only natural predator is humans. And so that's when we have to intervene and come in and do eradication, because they are just furious breeders, furious growers. They adapt. Pigs are highly intelligent, as well as they're not as prone to disease and sickness and illness, and they're just hardy animals. The sows reproduce twice a year and can have up to 13 piglets each time they reproduce. So in order for us to just maintain the population to where it doesn't grow any more than what it currently is, we have to kill 70%. We have to eradicate 70% of the population each year just to maintain the population. And obviously we haven't been able to do that with the technology we had until the past decade, 15 years with helicopters and thermal optics. Prior to that, the population just continued to grow.
You know, the population is growing, but what is the effect as well that it has, other than using up a lot of these natural resources? What is the other effect that it has on whether, you know, it's native land or ranch land?
You got to realize that you introduced 3 to 4 million animals into a habitat that was basically managed and designed to run off of native species. And so when you introduced a pig and you had basically double the population of whitetail, to put it in perspective, but you still have the same food resources, then you come into issues where you start affecting the herd health of our whitetail and native species. Because when pigs come in, they eat everything. They don't have any kind of reservations about what they're going to eat. I've seen them eat roadkill. They eat acorns. They forage on grass. I've seen them in dire straits actually take down does and newborn does and whitetail, eat those. So they're just ferocious eaters. And so the effect on native wildlife is our native animals that are here and grown here and our habitat's designed for, they're having to compete with food from a feral species that's coming in and taking over.
And I think anybody that's seen the movie Snatch knows wild hog will definitely eat anything.
Absolutely. Bones, nails, teeth, and all. Yeah.
There's nothing left. What's the line? Always be wary of a man who owns a pig farm or a large amount of pigs or something like that. I need to watch that movie.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
And, so they're coming in, they're destroying this natural habitat. And I'm sure the same thing happens when it comes to ranchers' crops and property and what they're trying to do as well.
Well, absolutely. They're producing crops as well as ranching cows for the people of the world. So, I mean, Texas is one of the number one producers in the United States, if not the world, for grain crops as well as cattle. I mean, cattle is king. So they do carry some parasites as well as diseases and bacteria like brucellosis and everything that can get transferred to the cattle. And so where it doesn't affect the pig population, it doesn't affect them. They are carriers of it, and it can drastically affect our cattle operation, makes our cattle sick, as well as there can be a large die-off, as well as those bacteria are dangerous for human consumption. And then when it comes to the grain crops, they're like a machine. When our farmers are out there planting the grain and they're using large pieces of machineries to sit there and drill the corn into the ground, those pigs can smell a single kernel of corn from a mile away, 6 inches in the ground. Jeez. And so when we're sitting and planting that corn, they'll come out there. And if you got a sounder of pigs, that's 30 to 40 pigs in that sounder, they will literally get on each row, put their nose right in the middle of that row, and just walk all the way down that row, picking out each kernel of corn. And they can take out 50 to 100 acres in a night with a big sounder of like that. So that farmer then has to come back in and re-drill and replant. So you have the expense of the seed, the expense of the fertilizer, the expense of fuel, as well as this time. And that's just during planting season. Once everything starts to grow and everything starts to produce, it's producing wheat, milo, soybeans, corn. Those pigs are in there and they're in those crops and in those fields just eating away, eating as much as they can. And they're just eating machines. And then there's no way to stop them.
And the brucellosis is something I didn't even realize that pigs would carry that. Cause you hear about that with like bison and stuff. That's a big danger about keeping bison near cattle is the ability to transfer that. I didn't realize the feral hogs were an issue with brucellosis.
Yeah, absolutely. And definitely carriers of it, as well as the parasites with worms and worms in their feces. They'll get into the feed troughs where they're feeding the cattle and they're sitting there eating and defecating right there. And so it's the cows sit there and eat it. So they get all the parasites that are within the pigs. And so it's just big, nasty deal. I mean, that's why there's some religions and there's some people out there in the world that just refuse to eat pork because pigs are just nasty.
They are definitely not. I mean, I know guys that are all about eating wild hog, and I know some guys that would probably rather eat a coyote before touching a wild hog.
I'm probably with you on the coyote one. So it wouldn't be my cup of tea. I've seen them in some nasty, dirty stuff, and I just have a hard time doing it myself. But I'm in a different line of business outside of trophy hunting. There are guys that are sitting there feeding clean corn, and they've got managed ranches and high fence ranches and game ranches. They got pigs coming into them and they're wild pigs, and you can shoot them and eat them. It's never going to be the same as buying pork in the store just because there's no fat on them. And it's just different type of meat. But when I'm out there eradicating pigs and they've been in there eating fertilizer and been in sewage treatment plants, walling around in water and mud, I'm just not going to be one for cleaning one of those out and eating it.
And it's wild hogs are definitely a problem. And I mean, I know most states, all you have to have where wild hogs are a problem, all you really have to have is a license. I don't know of too many states where that actually require you to buy like a tag or have you get an allotted number of wild hogs you're allowed to hunt. I mean, they're pretty much considered an invasive species across the board. Oh,
absolutely. And there's not any laws or restrictions. In fact, in the state of Texas, you don't even have to have a hunting license mm-hmm. in the state of Texas. All you have to do is complete your hunter safety course, and you can hunt feral pigs as much as you want with rifle, bow, shotgun, knife, dogs, helicopter, whatever it is.
Dynamite.
Kill as many as you can. Yeah, absolutely. absolutely. Anything by any means necessary. Kill as many as you can. And there's not even a license required. So, I mean, come on, come on.
I mean, I think when it comes down to it, and people really start thinking about hog hunting, to a certain extent, a lot of people in the back of their mind have the kind of helicopter experience. Like, there's a little bit of that floating around in there, whether they want to admit it or not, where it's like, that's like the gold standard of the hog hunt right there. You know, you get the, you go out at night in the helicopter with the thermal optics and you just go to town. I mean, like, would you disagree? I feel like that's kind of like the gold standard what people think about, like, in the back of their head when they're thinking hog hunting.
No, absolutely. I mean, that's definitely it. That's everybody's kind of like bucket list hunt, because everybody wants to get up in the helicopter and chase pigs. And we do. We're the oldest helicopter hog gunning company in Texas. We're one of the original ones that started it. In fact, when we first started flying with helicopters, the farmers and ranchers actually had to pay us to come in and fly them. And we were the agents coming in and eradicating pigs. Texas Parks and Wildlife would not allow us to accept any money for clients or customers or anyone that wanted to get in the helicopter and come hog hunt and shoot pigs from the helicopter. So we had to charge the landowners, and as the owners of the helicopter in the business, we had to be the agents to come in and eradicate the pigs. Shortly after that, we were able to petition Texas Parks and Wildlife, and they changed the laws and the rules to be able to allow us to add agents to our company for paid hunters to come out and fly in the helicopter and shoot pigs. So we are able to do it, transfer that cost savings on to landowners. We no longer charge them for us to come in and eradicate their pigs. But that has always been the golden standard. Everybody wants to do that. That wants the bucket list. And it is the best form of eradicating pigs, simply because we're able to cover a lot of ground and we're able to kill a lot of pigs. So we fly currently about 1.2 million acres in the state of Texas, and we average about 150 pigs a day. And that's about 5 to 6 hours of flight time a day.
Jeez, man. So tell me a little bit about the experience. Like, somebody coming out wants to, you know, they're like, all right, I've been wanting to do this for ever since I started hunting. Like, what can I expect coming out?
Well, the most fun you can have with your clothes on is what you can definitely expect. So when the clients come out and our customers come out, they typically come out the day before into our lodge. We've got a nice brand new lodge, a couple of years old, just south of Dallas. And everybody comes out the night before. We're going to wine you. We're going to dine you. You're going to be entertained. A big, nice steak dinner. And then we're going to wake up early the next morning and kind of go over the safety proceedings. Our pilot, as well as our guides, are going to go over how to use the guns, how to get in and out of the helicopter, how to get strapped in, reloads, as well as we got to go over some of the terminology, because for a safety perspective and a safety standpoint, our pilot has to be able to control all of our hunters in the bird at all times. So he's got to be able to communicate with you to let you know where the pigs are at, where they're located while flying, as well as when you can go hot, when you can load your gun, when to unload your gun, when you can shoot, where to shoot based off of his maneuvering. And so we've got to make sure that communication level is there and they understand the language. And then we get in the helicopter. So we typically do 1 day trips, and we usually
I do have one question.
Sure.
Do you blare "Gimme Shelter" by the Stones the entire time you're flying? Because that's all I want. That is all I want.
It's just. So the funny thing is, we have a big PA speaker on the bottom of our helicopter. And so sometimes the pigs will get locked up in some thick trees and we can see them in there. Well, you can't maneuver with the helicopter when they're in a canopy of trees. And so we will sit there and play music, a little Led Zeppelin, some ZZ Top, and kind of blare some music to get them up and moving and get them out running across the field. That way we can drop down the ceiling of the helicopter and kind of get in a position to where we can actually start eradicating and shooting pigs.
Oh man, all I want is like "Gimme Shelter" or maybe even something like "Copperhead Road" or something. Oh, just like
Yeah, absolutely. Whatever is on the playlist, that we will blare it. It is going. So that is what you're envisioning right now has happened.
Absolutely. There we go. There we go.
Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
So what's some of the terminology like that you guys use? Like what would be different than what somebody might expect?
So it's typical terminology that you've probably heard in like a military setting or even watching movies. Like, I mean, directional time, like pigs at 9 o'clock, pigs at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock kind of deal. Normal conversation with the helicopter coming about when we've got telephone lines and stuff crossing the wire, crossing the pole. That means we've got to go up and over the power lines, and that's just notifying that everybody in the helicopter knows that we're about to lift off the ground.
So you talk about going up over the power lines. Like, how high off the ground are you flying these helicopters when you're going up? Like, you see a sound or a hogs hauling ass, you know, across an open spot, and you're like, all right, we're going after them. Like, how high are you flying while these guys are unloading at these hogs?
So weather does play a little bit of factor in it. So in the right wind conditions and everything. So we're typically probably about 30 to 40 feet off the ground when we're going over the canopy and the treetops looking for pigs. When we catch them out in the open, I mean, we'll drop the deck and we'll be at 15, 20 feet off the ground.
That's low.
You're shooting the pigs with, you're shooting the pigs with an AR-15 about 50 yards.
Damn. Okay. And what kind of speeds?
So you're probably at, when it comes to like ground speed, you're probably 25 to 30 miles an hour. So pigs top out at 26 miles an hour. So when they're running across the field, running from somebody that's chasing with the helicopter, they're anywhere from 20 to 25 miles an hour. And so you're flying sideways alongside of them. And the way that we worked in order to be able to be the most effective, when the pigs come out of the woods and they're running across the field, they go in a straight line. And we start at the back and work our way forward. That way we make sure that we get the entire sounder and the entire group. Because if you shoot in the middle, then they'll scatter because, hey, Bob in front of you died and they're all split up. Or if you shoot the first one, then they'll kind of split up and go all different directions. Well, when they're running 20 miles an hour across the field trying to get out of town, they don't realize that pigs are dropping behind them.
They're not paying attention to the slow dude in the group. They're just trying to get the hell out of there.
Yeah, absolutely. And so they're trying to find cover and get off, find water anywhere else, just try to get away. But there's not many places you can hide when you got a helicopter.
I'd imagine not. And so do you get a lot of folks coming out where this is their first hunt or their first time doing this? Do you get more repeat customers? Like what do you kind of see with that?
I would say probably about 75 to 80% of our customers that come out every year are repeat customers. They've been flying with us for 10 to 12 years and they book the same dates. And just because family stuff happens or economical stuff situations, because I'll be honest, it's not a cheap hunt. It's a bucket list hunt. It's not something that you would do every weekend kind of deal. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, insurance and gas and fuel and payments on a helicopter are pretty expensive. And we typically go through about 1500 to 2000 rounds a day. So then you got ammunition costs on top of that. But a majority of all of our customers are repeat customers. So when it comes to bookings and everything, we probably only got about 15 to 20% new customers coming out. When they book, then they're going to repeat. So it's not a big turnover at all.
Nice.
Typically, we fly two guys in a helicopter at a time. So we'll put two shooters out the passenger side window. So we have a 4-person helicopter. So there'll be two guys, one in the front seat, one in the back seat. You've got 1 foot on the runner outside of the helicopter, the other foot inside. You're strapped in, you got a strap around you and the helicopter, as well as a strap around the helicopter, you and the gun. So even if you fall out, you got a little, nice little bungee cord tether to hold on to you. And then when a group of six guys come out, we fly for 6 hours, everybody gets 2 hours in the bird. We provide all the ammunition, all the guns, all the optics, basically. Come out with whatever clothes you're going to wear on your back and hop in the bird and let's go have some fun.
And so, we're talking kind of about daytime hunts. Do you do like the evening thermal hunts from the helicopter as well?
No, we don't do any of the nighttime hunts or thermal hunts from the helicopter just because it's too dangerous to fly. And the visibility from the trees as well as power lines is the biggest factor number one cause to all helicopter crashes, because you're flying low, you're flying below the cloud lines and stuff, and guys just quit paying attention and they run into power lines. So we don't do any of that after dark, but we fly from sun up to sundown and that's it. At nighttime is when we go out with the thermal optics and we'll go from farm to farm, spotting and stalking pigs. Once we spot a sounder of pigs out on a farm ground or out in the cultivated ground, we'll stock up on them. Typically get it with about 50 to 75 yards. We shoot AR-15s calibered in 7.62 by 39. So it's a 30 caliber bullet just because pigs are hardy. And the more weight that you can get into them and the more power you can get into them, the better. And so we'll line up two or three guys on shooting sticks and we're going to go 1, 2, 3 and you shoot as many as you can out of the group. And then we'll load up the dead ones, get them out of the field. And the guys that want to take them back and clean them and take them home with them, they will. But if nobody wants the meat and we can't donate it, then we'll dispose of the meat, feed it to the Black Condor Conservation Group.
Tell me a little bit about the TV show.
Sure. So Target Rich Environment TV is on the Sportsman Channel. We do 26 episodes a year. So we're into our first year this year. We did have a TV show back in 2014 called Heli Hunter TV, but just with our lives and as hectic as everything was, we just didn't have enough time to really put together a good show. But we've started back up with it. We've kind of changed and transitioned how our business works and work a little bit full time, so all of our partners are able to kind of be involved with the show. But it's a day-to-day story of our outfitters and our business, and we're out there eradicating pigs and trying to find the best target rich environments in the world to hunt. So obviously Texas being a target rich environment for hog hunting, there's a lot of that that's involved. But we also, me and my business partners and the other hosts kind of go out and we'll do some dove hunting and waterfowl hunting. Went to Montana last year, chasing elk, went to Idaho and the Dakotas and did some prairie dog hunting. So, I mean, whitetail hunting in Kansas. So we kind of go all over, but the major basis is we're going to do a lot of killing and a lot of killing of pigs.
I was gonna say, you know, at least if you're ever struggling to find content, at least you can always go back to what you do very, very well, which is just the wholesale slaughter.
Absolutely. And that's the good thing about it is we're not one of those shows that, you know, you sitting there watching four segments leading up to one guy making a shot on a whitetail or something. We got hunts and kills in every segment of the show because we just have that much content. We are the world's largest hog hunting outfitter. So we do have guys coming out daily to our lodge and hunting pigs. And so if we need somebody to do it, get a pig kill on TV, we'll just send our cameraman out with our hunters and the guys coming into the lodge. You're going up in the helicopter. So we're about to dive into dove season here in September. I'm going to have 1,200 hunters out in the fields on September 1st. So all I got to do is just send a cameraman around and go shoot some dove.
I was going to say, yeah, having the outfit there, and I'm sure all of those guys are probably like stoked to have a cameraman along with them. Something tells me you don't have any problems with them being willing to be on the show.
No, not at all. Not at all. Everybody's hyped to do it. I mean, we do get some political figures and public figures and stuff of guys that want to come hunt with us. And it does have to be private because, you know, the business that we have isn't always necessarily the prettiest when it comes into the public eye, but it is a necessity that people don't want to necessarily see or hear about when it comes to controlling pig population, especially for our wildlife here in Texas. But it is a necessity. So we do have those figures that come out. We can't do any photos or publications or anything like that, but everybody else, when they come out and want to hunt, we're like, oh, you mean I get to be on the Sportsman Channel? Yeah. Where do I sign up? Everybody likes to see themselves on TV.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, it's not everyone. Not everyone can afford to bring along their own, you know, personal photographer and videographer on their hunt. Sure. So, you know, if you're able to score that, it's got to get you pretty stoked, especially if you're doing something like a helicopter hog hunt, which you're going to want to remember that, have some footage, you know. I'm sure you've got guys out there that are just like, swear they're like a Vietnam door gunner at this point, or like
we do have some clients that come back every year that are pretty much veterans. They could teach the class for our new customers coming in. They've been doing it every year for 10 years, and they'll come out for 3 or 4 days and just wear them out. So they're better shots than I am at half the time.
have you ever had anyone come out that you're just like, all right, you just need to take it down. You're at like a 12 right now. I need you at like a 7.
No, I mean, there's like,
homie's a little bit sketchy here.
No, we never had that kind of issue or anything like that. I mean, guys get excited, and so you've got to feed into it. I mean, they're there, and they're spending hard earned money to come out there on a hunt, and so we obviously can't have anybody unsafe up there. We don't typically allow that, but we do have guys that come out and be like, man, all right, I know you're excited, I know you're enthusiastic, but you got to be sure to listen to the pilot while he's in the bird. He's the boss. he might be an asshole while you're in the bird, but when you get down, he's going to shake hands with you and buy you a beer, and you'll be best friends. But you've got to listen to him. He's like a drill sergeant up there. And Johnny is our lead pilot. He's been our lead pilot from the beginning. And he is ex-military, and he has flown combat missions. And he's got more time in the helicopter than I probably got on this earth. And he can get stern up there, but it's for everybody's safety. And he can kind of control the atmosphere and everything. So never had any major issues.
Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
So do you have any particularly memorable hunts with some clients or anything like that, that kind of stuck out to you?
Well, there's always some, and I mean, there's good ones and there's bad ones. There's obviously funny ones. Someone that everybody knows of is, it's always fun having Ted Nugent out. He comes and hunts with us every year. And that dude's a character. You think you see him on TV and he's putting on a show and he's acting that way on social media and talking that way. No, he's even worse in person. So, I mean, that's just how he is.
I've had him on the podcast, and when everyone's like, oh, how'd that go? I'm like, it is everything you would expect that podcast to be. Like, it is 100% Ted Nugent. Like, that is his personality.
It is. And I mean, you get what you get. There's no filter whatsoever. And so, he is always a blast, and I always have a great time having him out to hunt with us. In regards to other stories, we've always got funny moments. We had a guy come down from California a couple of years ago, and he's a police officer, and he was flying with us. He has really bad motion sickness, but he loves to helicopter hunt. He's probably been out with us a couple of times so far, but and he tries everything, Dramamine and pressure points and all this kind of stuff. And we were doing a show with Pigman, and he was flying, and this guy was sitting in the passenger seat. So we've got a camera right on his face, and we get on these pigs, and he starts shooting, and he starts unloading his magazine on these pigs. And I guess the motion sickness hit him right when he's in mid shot, and he shoots like 2 or 3 pigs. He just turns his head to the right and throws up, and we got it all on camera. It comes out slow, and then he shakes it off and then looks back down the barrel and just keeps shooting, like no hesitation whatsoever.
Boot and rally. Stopping.
I mean, it was it. Like there was no hesitation. So I mean, it was just awesome. And I mean, he loves it, and he knows that he's going to get sick. But it's just the thrill of being in the helicopter and chasing pigs just kind of overpowers that sickness, and so he comes back every year.
Oh, that's I admire a boot and rally like that. I can always I can always admire that. So if folks were wanting to come out for their first, you know, you said you provide all the gear, like they pretty much just have to show up and, you know, not be a complete idiot.
Yeah.
Anything else that someone would need to know, like if they're planning on coming out, anything else they should expect?
I mean, we take care of everything. So majority of all of our hunts and packages are all in. So if they want to inquire about it and available dates, they can go to helihunter.com or they can go to 3curl.com. We own both the companies. They're both sister companies, and we offer the same packages. So anywhere from daytime pig hunts with from a stand to nighttime thermal hunts, spot and stock, as well as the helicopter hunt. So we do it all, but all of our packages are all inclusive. I mean, you bring your clothes, you bring your personal toiletries. I mean, we've got a great lodge. It's got 11 bedrooms and fully furnished. We've got some great cooks that come out and cook some awesome meals. And then we're in a small county, Ellis County, south, about 30, 45 minutes south of downtown Dallas. And so we've probably got the largest bar in the county right there at our lodge. So there's not a whole lot around us, a lot of rural towns and everything, but that's all you need. Just come back and enjoy. Let's go kill some pigs and help out the pig population.
So you mentioned where to find the outfitters. If folks wanted to follow along with the TV show, where can they find information about that? Where can they watch it?
Absolutely. So TV show comes on the Sportsman Channel, comes on at 12:30 every Sunday on the Sportsman Channel. You can find it on AT&T, DirecTV, Dish Network, as well as there's several streaming sites and stuff that stream the Sportsman Channel and Outdoor Channel. So 12:30 on Sundays, as well as we've got a YouTube channel where we post our old episodes on and a lot of additional information, as well as all of our customer helicopter hunts. Post about videos of their actual hunts on our YouTube channel, and it's just Target Rich Environment, home of Heli Hunter, and that's a YouTube channel. So just search it and you'll be able to follow along there as well.
Awesome, man. Well, I will make sure to link to all of that on the show notes page. It's going to be at thewildinitiative.com. Really appreciate you sitting down, man. It was fun. I need to figure out one of these days when I can come down and book one of these hunts, because that's definitely like on the bucket list, hanging out the side of a helicopter, just unloading on hogs. It sounds like quite the time, man.
Absolutely. We'd love to have you. So just let us know, and we got a room waiting for you.
Awesome, man. Thanks again. All right, y'all. That'll do it for this episode of The Wild Initiative. Make sure to check out the show notes page at thewildinitiative.com. Get links to everything we talked about in today's episode. Make sure you all check out the Target Rich Environment TV show on the Sportsman's Channel. Get links to all of the different socials and go book yourself a helicopter hog hunt. Because let's face it, if you're saying you don't want to do that, you got to be lying or crazy or something. That's my opinion. I definitely need to find some time and money to go book one of those myself. So, all right, y'all, that'll do it for this week. Looking forward to next time. But until then, I hope this episode inspired you to get involved, get outdoors, and plan your initiative for the wild.
Thank you for listening to The Wild Initiative. Please take a moment to leave a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher. And head on over to thewildinitiative.com to get show notes, check out the blog, gear discounts, other podcasts from the Wild Initiative family, and more.
On Mondays, head offshore with Captain Scott Walker and Steve Roger for breathtaking deep sea adventures.
Coming to me.
He's jumping.
Oh!
Look at that belly.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Tell a few fish stories along the way.
On Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
You go out there and the fish are where you think they are, any one of these casts could be the bite. It's the most exciting fishing that I know, right here at Hawk's Cay.
Oh, that's awesome!
Experience the best saltwater fishing the world has to offer. Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience, brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts, every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.